This is the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, filling in for McGraw for the rest of the week while he's off on vacation. Thanks so much for listening. Later on in this hour, I'll have a new batch of knuckleheads in the news for you, and also Chris Hayes, who's the investigative journalist for Fox 2, will talk a little bit more about what he discovered yesterday when he was digging into the Ferguson story and trying to confront Governor Jay Nixon about why the National Guard wasn't there on West Florissant last November 24th to guard those businesses on the night that Bob McCullough, the prosecutor, announced the no charge decision by the grand jury against Officer Darren Wilson in the shooting of Michael Brown. So we'll get to that later on in this hour. But first, several years ago, I read an interesting book called The Death of Common Sense, How Law is Suffocating America. It was written by Philip K. Howard, who's an attorney in New York and who has written several other books since then, including The Collapse of the Common Good and Life Without Lawyers. Last year, he wrote a new one called The Rule of Nobody, Saving America from Dead Laws and Broken Government. It is about to be republished in paperback, so I've asked him to join me here today. Philip, welcome to the Big 550 KTRS.
Nice to be with you, Paul.
The Rule of Nobody seems to be a book that says we have too many rules.
Yeah, nobody can make a decision. Everybody's got their noses in the rule book. So whether it's, you know, a teacher that can't maintain order in the classroom, or the president who doesn't have the authority to approve obvious infrastructure rebuilding projects, and, you know, sort of up and down the society. And if you want to start a business, you got to go to 12 different government agencies. It's like, you know, it's like negotiating an international treaty or something.
Well, there are two sides to this that I want to discuss. The first isn't so much about too many rules, but about the loss of discretion, or allowing other people, I guess trusting other people to use their discretion. That seems to be gone from corporate America.
Yes, it's gone really throughout the society. And I think what people, and the worse things work, you know, the more distrust there is, right? Because nothing's working very well. I think where people kind of fell off the rails is you don't really have to trust somebody to give them room to make a decision. You just have to have a mechanism to hold them accountable or to overrule the decision if they're off the reservation. And, you know, people judging other people is the way the world has always worked. Instead, we've tried to reframe both corporate America and our system of government in this kind of very literalistic way, where you give them a thick manual and you say, here's what you do all day long. And, you know, it doesn't work because it's basically a version of Soviet central planning.
And that's how you end up with people telling you, when you try to go in and talk to somebody and get a common sense answer on something, or try to get a compassionate way to handle something, instead they tell you, well, I'm sorry, that's our policy. I've got the book right here, and I went to paragraph 63, subparagraph B2, and it says this is exactly what I have to do in this circumstance, and I'm sorry, I can't change that because that's our policy.
That's right. So everybody basically, you know, this kind of world where everybody says no. And then on top of this, of course, you have fear of litigation, so that, you know, anytime you say something, you know, so you're told in your business you can never give a job reference, or teachers are told they can never put an arm around a crying child.
Yeah.
Because they're so scared of getting sued. So you have this world, you know, we supposedly live in this free society, but in fact, and law is supposed to be the framework of freedom, but somehow, almost without our noticing it, law replaced freedom.
Is it because we have too litigious a society, or because these things have actually gone to court and been adjudicated against the people who were trying to put their arm around the child to make them feel better? Or somebody who said, okay, well, I know it's our policy, but you deserve a break. You can't give them a break, and so it ends up in court.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually not so much because there are so many court decisions that say you can't do any of these things.
It's the fear.
It's the fear of it. And so the fact that any angry person can drag you through litigation for years before you win, and if you're right, you'll generally win, is enough to make everybody say, look, I don't want to even bother to try. So the rule is, don't put an arm around a crying child. Don't give job references. My own law firm has a series of questions I'm not allowed to ask, including, where are you from? you know, you can do anything offensively. You can say, "Where are you from?" But the fact that you can do things badly doesn't mean that you should have a kind of lowest common denominator society where we're all muzzled, where kids are wrapped in bubble wrap and not allowed to go out and play.
Yeah.
You know, where the president doesn't have, the president of the United States, for God's sake, doesn't have authority to say, let's go fix that broken bridge. You know, it's just, it really is a form of social mental illness.
Well, now here's where I want to get into the broken government part of this, because the book is The Rule of Nobody, Saving America from Dead Laws and Broken Government. And I'm one of those people who believes that government can actually do good if we just allowed it to. You know, that bridge is going to fall down if we don't fix it. Oh, no, before you fix it, we've got to have a commission study it, and we'll get back to you in 15 months. By then, the damn bridge might fall down.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not 15 months. It's more like 15 years.
Oh. It's
really, you know, the granularity of modern law. A tree fell in a creek a couple of years ago in a town in New Jersey and caused flooding, and the mayor sent in a backhoe to pull it out. And then the lawyer said, oh, no, that's a class C1 creek, you know, whatever that is. And you need official approval to remove a natural object. And the fallen trees are natural objects, right? So it took them 2 weeks and over $10,000 in legal fees to get approval to do what was completely obvious, which was to remove the tree from the creek. Well, the president, you know, got $800 billion stimulus with bipartisan support in 2009, and yep. That was going to, as you recall, be used for infrastructure. They came out with a 5-year report last year. And buried in the back is this number, 3.6% got spent on transportation infrastructure.
3.6%?
Yeah. How can that be?
Did the rest go to overhead?
He didn't have authority to fix things.
Yeah. You know, starting about 20-odd years ago, we actually did see the size of the federal government, not state and local so much, but the size of the federal government did begin to shrink, or at least the rate of growth wasn't as big as it was, depending on what year you look at or what decade you look at. But really, in the last 20 years, we have ended up with less government. But I'm sorry to say that along with that, based on what I read in your book, less government does not mean fewer regulations and rules. Is that correct?
No, yeah, and so let's talk about that. So, you know, regulations and rules are important to protect clean air and water and stuff like that, to
yep.
a point. But we got this idea after the 1960s that they should tell people how to do things. So the Constitution is 10 pages long. The new Volcker rule, just for one little part of the Dodd-Frank financial regulation, is 950 pages long. So we've done that with all of regulation. You know, Missouri has 1,000 rules for nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Australia has 30 principles. Have a home-like setting, respect the dignity of the residents, things like that. It works much better. And so this idea that we can so government should oversee nursing homes. They should oversee daycare centers. They should provide services. They should protect air and water. But they should do it in a way that allows the people in charge to make sense of it and to be accountable if they fail. Instead, we create these multi-thousands of pages of rules that basically guarantee failure as well as loss of the human spirit and everything else, because everybody's suffocated by this horrible, stinking bureaucracy that makes people go through the day doing things that are stupid.
So when did we get this way?
Really only in the last 50 years. We woke up to abuses in the 1960s, like, you know, when they were racism and pollution and gender discrimination and lies about the Vietnam War and all sorts of stuff. And so some bright legal scholars said, I know what we'll do. We'll avoid bad values in the future by simply having law tell everybody exactly what to do. And if the law doesn't have a specific rule, we will let anybody sue for anything. And those two things came together to basically undermine our freedom. And at this point, in the land of the First Amendment, you're not free to give a job reference that's honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is, it really, we've turned freedom on its head in our effort to create a kind of a perfect freedom where nobody ever made a mistake.
Now, let me ask you about the job reference thing, because you mentioned it a couple of times. Are you legally prohibited from doing that, or is it the human resources people at your law firm or at any large company in America that say, look, for our protection, don't say anything about anybody who's ever worked here ever, ever, ever?
Yeah, that's right. It's the latter. It's the fear. It's the fact that we have a system of justice. So, more broadly, we've created a legal structure where no one is allowed to make a decision. So, the government official is not allowed to say, rebuild the bridge, we need to get it fixed. And the judge is not allowed to say, I'm dismissing this claim because I see no reason to think this wasn't an honest job reference.
Right.
When the judge doesn't do that, when the judge doesn't defend people's freedoms affirmatively by dismissing claims, and he lets it go to a jury after 5 years of, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of legal fees and depositions, all that kind of stuff, then every HR department is going to say, the rule is you never say anything.
But the question I'm asking is there such a thing as judicial discretion, or are their hands bound by the law?
Well, their hands are, well, first of all, their hands are bound by, to say, there's specific law, but even worse, there's this culture of doing justice in the country, unlike any other place in the world, where the judges don't think that they have authority to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe you've got a claim for a broken leg, but not for $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so judges don't narrow the scope of litigation so that litigation, in case you haven't noticed, has become a tool for extortion.
So how do we get the genie back in the bottle, other than handing you the gavel?
Yeah, I'm happy for that.
I'll take it, too.
One presidential candidate, Jeb Bush, is out quoting the rule of nobody. It basically says we've got to go clean. If we want to move this country forward, we've got to clean out obsolete laws.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go see which laws work and don't. And let's just not to quote deregulate, but to make them work.
Yep.
You know, go ahead. So that's one thing, and that's a big initiative. You have a whole bunch of special commissions that go area by area and make sense of every area, nursing home law. You know, every it's actually not that hard, and it's not partisan. I'm also talking with California Governor Jerry Brown about rewriting California criminal law. This is not a partisan issue. It's just a question of making society work. So that's one piece of it. We have to wake up to the fact that this legal system is, the regulatory system is really paralytic. The second thing we have to do is we have to get judges to understand, and maybe you could actually pass a statute that specifically gives them the job, that they have to draw the boundaries of what's a reasonable lawsuit or not as a matter of law, because today, the fear of lawsuits undermines everyone's freedom.
Yeah.
Look at all the stuff we don't have anymore. As kids can't play on seesaws, merry-go-rounds, jungle gyms, climbing ropes.
I know.
You know, diving boards are almost extinct.
The mayor of Boston yesterday felt it was necessary to go on television in a public press conference and tell people, don't dive out of your window into the 96 inches of snow that are piled up outside. Why is that his business?
Oh, boy. I mean, it's so stupid. Or look at the warning labels. You know, billions of coffee cups. Caution. Contents are hot.
Right.
I mean, you're completely self-evident, right?
Yep.
My favorite was on a fishing lure, big 5-inch fishing lure. That's big, right? With 3-pronged hook. On the side, it said, harmful if swallowed. You know, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, you see, I'm one of those who's in favor of thinning the herd. If you're stupid enough to swallow that, okay, you get what you deserve. You know, not if you're a 3-year-old kid, that's something different, but why are you putting a 3-pronged hook around a 3-year-old kid to begin with? But here I think maybe what comes at the heart of this, and maybe you get into this later in the book, I've only read a little bit of it so far, but is it possible that our legislators are signing on to legislation they haven't even read all the way through because they don't understand it? I mean, even going back to the Patriot Act in 2001 and 2002, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages that people just signed on to, A, because it was called the Patriot Act, and B, because we have to do something. But no one knew what the something was, and that happens all the time when laws get passed. Is it possible we're just making it too complicated?
Yes, it happens very often. The members of Congress have no idea what they're enacting. They don't pass them. They don't read the laws. And so I have a section at the end of the book, you'll get there, called Washington is a Deviant Subculture. You know, it's not intended as a joke. They really, they're, it's basically hopeless in Washington. But if you look at historic change, you know, whenever there's been big changes in American society, the 1960s, 1930s, the Progressive Era, Civil War, every 30 or 40 years, it always comes from pressures from the outside. So what's required here is for the American people to finally wake up and say, you know, George Washington couldn't run this government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is hopeless. We have a structural problem that doesn't allow anyone to take responsibility.
Right.
Or, and that's the reason everybody in Washington likes it, or be accountable. You know, who's responsible for the budget deficit? Nobody. Who's responsible for the failure of schools? Nobody.
Right.
You know, who's responsible for anything? Nobody. So we have to recognize, and so what we're trying, I have a not-for-profit called Common Good, commongood.org, and we've got all these, you know, very important people on both sides, so people like Al Simpson or Bill Bradley and such, on the board. And basically we're saying we have to start a movement that designed to rebuild the structure of American democracy to require people to take responsibility and to be accountable for whether they succeed or not, and to get rid of this idea that we can create this kind of hundreds of millions of words software program and expect people to understand it.
Right.
The members of Congress can't even read it.
Yep. I think we need a law that says if you are a legislator at any level, municipal, state, or federal, you're not even allowed to vote on a law unless A, you've read it, and B, can explain it to someone else in plain language. That's why I love this quote you have from James Madison in the book, that laws should not be so voluminous that they cannot be read, or so incoherent that they cannot be understood. That says it all right there.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome to modern America.
The book is called The Rule of Nobody, Saving America from Dead Laws and Broken Government. Philip K. Howard, thanks so much for joining me here today.
Great to be with you, Paul.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.